Welcome to the Dolphin Tales podcast presented by Baptist Health. I'm Scott Manzi, voice of the Jacksonville Dolphins.
I'm Pat Sickens, founder of Adaptive Jacks, the full-service marketing firm located at the beaches, also a JU grad and baseball alum. Today on the episode, we have a former teammate of mine, Brian Williams, who's now the CEO of Dogs for Better Lives out in Oregon.
And I have a conversation with Jack Gallo, sophomore member of the men's rowing team. All that coming up on episode 11 of the Dolphin Tales podcast presented by Baptist Health. Baptist Health is the official healthcare provider of Jacksonville University Athletics. Baptist Health is changing healthcare for good. Pat, what stood out to you about Brian as a distinguished Jacksonville University alum?
It was great to have Brian on. He really checks all the boxes that we wanted when we envisioned having this segment on Dolphin Tales. In the interview, he had some really great baseball stories and bringing that baseball aspect. Also talked about the family that JU is, not just within the programs, but across athletics and across the university, and had some great insight into what he did post-playing career, both at the university and in the minor leagues, but now as a nonprofit executive. So really just talking about the different stages and what we had hoped to highlight with these distinguished alumni.
You heard it there. Coming up next, Pat's conversation with Brian Williams, CEO of Dogs for Better Lives. But first, today's open. During the first iteration of this podcast, which was themed Life During the Lockdown, I used the opening couple minutes of each week's pod to sort of speak to you all and the Jacksonville University Athletics community from my heart, an open letter of sorts about various things that I had observed, I thought about, and hoped could inspire and encourage all of you throughout what was obviously a difficult time in not only our local history, but the world's history overall. Since then, things haven't gotten any quieter. In fact, things have ramped up in a different way over the course of the last several weeks. And while I wasn't sure whether or not I wanted to continue the column nature of the opens to these podcasts as we shifted into more lighthearted, future-focused conversations, I knew that this week there still needed to be at least one more of those. But it didn't need to come from me. This is not a time for me as a white adult male to offer commentary on what is going on in the world, and more specifically at Jacksonville University as that pertains to the United States and what we have seen in the wake of the George Floyd murder and the protests. And we have heard from both our university president, Tim Kost, and from Athletic Director Alex Ricker-Gilbert, and many of those in the Jacksonville University community have given their thoughts in certain platforms as well over the course of the last 2 weeks. But I wanted to use today's show, today's open, as an opportunity for someone who had a much better understanding of all of this, and then, of course, is part of the future as far as Jacksonville University and how it is trying to step forward, make progress as a university with its culture, with its diversity training, with its inclusivity. I reached out to our Deputy Athletic Director, Lauren Sievis. You may remember she joined me on the podcast several weeks ago, but she wrote down an open letter of sorts to herself in the immediate aftermath of what we saw really after George Floyd in Minneapolis about a week and a half ago. And so she reads from that letter about how she sees it, her perspective as a black woman working in college athletics and where we can go from here in the world.
I woke up this morning with a slightly different frame of mind to further build into our conversation from yesterday. My original thoughts and actions were the opposite of empathetic and did not reflect the person to whom I seek to be on a daily basis. When one group hurts, we all hurt. Our country is hurting right now. And in a time where differences need to be set aside for a greater outcome, I projected my opinion and did the exact opposite. Yes, I believe that the data speaks volumes. However, I do believe that the Black community has transitioned their thought process, just as MLK once did, due to a negligence to the cry for help made by so many. When in trying times, and it would appear that we as a country are reverting back to a period where we refuse to accept or acknowledge differences and want to build our country from the bottom up. I may not hurt with the Black community, but I do mourn with our nation. I mourn because of ignorance, violence, and an unwillingness to come to the table and do what is best for the country. No, I do not blame a particular group, as I believe that we are responsible for the plight in which we find ourselves. I believe that politicians campaign based on those who fund them, and oftentimes those able to fund are not members within minority communities. I believe that those within minority communities must also find a way to build, create, and learn. Murder is wrong, and the person holding the gun or receiving the bullet have the same fate regardless of race. I am who I am because I am a Black female who has gone through a lot, but nowhere near the amount of what my parents and grandparents have gone through. My knowledge has been questioned, my ability to speak has been praised, and for what? I work at an institution where I can count on one hand where members of the community look like me, but the population of the paying student body isn't necessarily reflected in those numbers. I work every day to try to fit in, to try to be normal. I listen to the arguments for and against what is going on in today's society, and all I can do is shake my head. We live in a world where fatherless homes, poor education, and a genuine lack of security plague the Black community. We live in a world where rather than address the issues in an amicable way, we turn our head and blame others rather than take any form of responsibility for the plight of our country. I write disgusted at where we stand as a country. For all of the statistics not in support of change, there are twice the amount of statistics in support for it. The issue is, what does change look like? And who will take the initiative in starting said change? We need to have healthy conversations surrounding what matters to every individual, then identify ways to create effective platforms and methods of engagement that remain in place and not simply go away. We have to meet each other at the common ground and genuinely wanting what is best for our community, our country. We have to break the systemic generational curse that haunts the dreams of members within minority communities. We have to allow for people to be comfortable with who they are and not fear life outside of their home. Regardless of race, religion, ethnicity, we have to realize that we have a country in which many are envious, and yet we are acting as if we are in the time that is not worth envying. We have to come together. We have to do better. We have to understand the basic fundamental principles of being in the United States by respecting differences and understanding that it is those differences that allows us to be so great. There's so much work to do. And as Mahatma Gandhi once said, we must be the change we wish to see in the world.
The words of Deputy Athletic Director Lauren Sievis in an open letter to herself. Coming up after the break, former JU baseball player Brian Williams.
To stay on top of your game, it's important to take good care of yourself. And that's exactly what Baptist Primary Care doctors specialize in, helping you know the score when it comes to your health. And with more than 1,400 physicians in our network, Baptist Primary Care is your direct link to all of Baptist Health. To establish a relationship with a Baptist Primary Care doctor near you, call 202-CARE. Baptist Health, proud to be the official healthcare provider for JU Athletics.
This is Jacksonville women's basketball head coach Darnell Haney. Shenatry Chiropractic is a proud sponsor of JU Athletics, located east of downtown in the Arlington neighborhood. Shenatry Chiropractic specializes in acupuncture for pain relief and sports performance. See how their quality chiropractic care can help you with back pain, neck pain, auto accidents, sciatica, and more. For more information about Shenatry Chiropractic, please visit chanatrydc.com. Shenatry Chiropractic.
My guest today is a former teammate and fellow baseball alum who is now a nonprofit executive, Brian Williams. Brian, thanks for joining us on today's episode.
Happy to be here. Honored. Thanks for asking me. Happy to come on and tell some stories and hopefully embarrass you a little bit.
Excellent. Well, before we get into what you're doing today, I thought we'd kind of, take a stroll down memory lane. I know you were originally from the Orlando area, so Maybe just talk a little bit about, the decision to come to JU and why you chose the university.
Yeah, that's a great question. Very, very interesting process. you know, going through that decision-making, going through the recruiting process and talking to coaches in universities. And, you know, I came from Orlando. My high school had more students than JU did at that time. And so when I was looking for that university experience and, you know, the other opportunities that I had in front of me were all major institutions. University of Miami was talking at the time, FAU, all very large. And when I got to JU and got to meet some of the guys and see the facilities were top notch at that time, still are. And just the welcoming nature of that, both small school experience, but also being in a large city at the same time. So the ability to connect with the student body, meet people, real laid back, but then, you know, going to the beach, going downtown, you have the Jaguars there. So there are a lot of things that were beneficial from a large city standpoint, but also that comfort level of coming into an environment that more is like a family, more is, you know, welcoming, is not as intimidating as a 30, 40, 50, 60,000 student body. That's really the experience I wanted. I wanted to be able to connect with that student body. So that's really something when I sat down and looked at all the factors of why do I want to choose Jacksonville University? I wanted that small school experience.
Awesome. And what years were you there overall, just for the listeners?
Yeah, so I was there from 99 to 2002. So when did you get there in 01? Is that when you started?
I was there in 01, and Scott and I were talking beforehand. We were looking up some of the stats from our team that year, specifically the staff we had. And I was telling him it was a pretty seasoned team at that point. We only had three freshmen. And I remember, you know, coming in and being the youngest guy on the staff to have that senior leadership or more senior leadership. You know, you were one of the guys that you weren't really a vocal leader, but you were one of the guys that people followed because you did the right things. And you had this tenacity and this focus when you were on the mound. And I was thinking through some of the games that kind of stood out in my mind. You mentioned FAU, and I know we had a pretty bitter rivalry with those guys. And I remember you had a win that extended a season for us down in Miami when, you know, you went out and basically took it for the team and just kept going out inning after inning to save the rest of the arm. So just things that I was remembering about you. And so if you have any, you know, memories, you know, whether it was the 01 team where, you know, we had that regional bid or anything else, maybe just a story or two about your playing time.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Pat. I appreciate that. That's always nice to come on and have someone compliment you. So thanks for writing that for me. Yeah, you know, it's funny is we did have a really experienced team those last couple of years I was there. Just because, you know, the staff, the coaching staff at that time was looking to bring in transfers along with new players. So definitely what, you know, not a vocal type of leader, and that kind of translates to my career too, and more of that, you know, if you do the right thing and people will see that. So, you know, take that with you. You know, the things that you know that we learn on the field that translate directly into your professional work ethic discipline really are things that I learned, you know, at JU. And, you know, my senior year was really a fun ride. You know, had that time where I had the lowest ERA in the country at one point and had a string of, you know, 20 or 30 straight shutout innings. So that was a really neat experience. And, you know, when you asked me to come on, I started thinking about some of my baseball stories and the baseball memories. Those were neat to kind of think about, but it was really a lot of that off the field experience and camaraderie and, you know, making these lifetime friends. You know, I'm still on text chains with guys from that team. I still keep in touch with you. There are a lot of players that, you know, I'm out here in Southern Oregon, so of course don't get to see as much as I'd like, but still stay in contact with because it became your family, became, you know, your support system, the people that you could lean on. So I have a lot of great baseball stories, especially on the road. I don't know, were you there when the bus went off the road and everybody flew off of their bunks? And it was this like crazy middle of the night experience. That
yes.
was one of those experiences. You're like, I'm glad I'm still here to talk about it. But man, that was kind of nutty. You know, to, you know, arriving at game time at FSU after that football player unfortunately passed away and we attended the funeral and just the emotion of that story. So there are a lot of just things you take with you, but I really really enjoyed more, even the off the field stuff versus, you know, what happens on the baseball field. Those things come and go. Wins and losses aren't as important as the lessons you learn and the people you, you know, become part of their family.
Right. You know, I know, you know, Brian and I both went to each other's weddings, and certainly, you know, now that I'm back in Jacksonville over the last few years to catch up with the old guys, and, you know, and outside the program, that's something Scott and I talked about last time we were on, is that family, you know, being a smaller university where the athletic department as a whole, it wasn't just baseball, you know, it was volleyball, it was soccer, a lot of the other sports. So I know you mentioned, you know, you having a pretty phenomenal senior season, which ended up allowing you to move on, which is, you know, everyone's dream to go play hopefully Division I baseball and then move on to get drafted. So why don't you talk about that experience of being drafted and what you learned during that time?
Yeah. And before I touch on that, to mention kind of what you said, not just the baseball program, but all the athletics. I mean, there were a lot of soccer guys that we hung out with. There were a lot of, you know, football players we hung out with. It was kind of that athletic family, not just, oh, you're part of the baseball program. So I did, yeah, my senior year, I got drafted by the Anaheim Angels, was able to go into their minor league system starting in Provo, Utah. Spending time in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Rancho Cucamonga, California, kind of bouncing around. And it was, you know, it was a dream come true. You know, you want to be a minor leaguer, but then you get there and there's the realities kind of set in of this is not college baseball. You know, it's very, very different. It is part of that, you know, it's a business that, you know, it's not all the time this rah-rah team. It is some of the I want to make it, and if I have to run you over to do it, I'm going to do it. And that was, you know, part of the thing that I learned that, you know, just made the experience not as great as I'd hoped. And I remember getting into Provo, every time someone got released, I would write their initials in my hat just to remember, you know, the guys that unfortunately lost that opportunity. And after a few months, you're like, I mean, this happens like every other day. My hat's going to be full in 90 days. So I stopped doing that. But that's kind of when you start to realize that, yeah, this is a job and it's different. It's not like your time in college where everyone's really rooting for one another. It's a little bit different. So that experience was interesting, a lot of hard work, a lot of nights on the road. And then, you know, following my time at Rancho Cucamonga, I got released and I flew from LA back to Orlando. And I remember getting, you know, turning my cell phone back on, and I had voicemails from two teams asking me to come back to California. And that was a really, really tough decision. And I went to my dad and I said, you know, this isn't fun anymore. You know, I don't have that passion that I had. I don't really want to do this. And, you know, I didn't know how he would respond, but he was like, dude, I want you to be happy. You don't want to do it anymore? Find something else that you're passionate about. So, you know, moved on from baseball and began that kind of second, third, fourth chapter in your life. You know, what we've gone through with all those fun, great experiences, it seems like there's, you know, multiple chapters of life that you kind of build upon.
Sure. So let's talk about the next chapter and moving into the nonprofit sector. So I know there's been a few stops along the way. So if you want to hit on those, great. If not, you know, we can just kind of move through it. But now you're the CEO of Dogs for Better Lives. So, you know, what brought you to the nonprofit sector and what are you guys doing now out in Oregon?
Yeah, great question. I've taken an interesting career journey, you know, kind of maybe similar to your experience after you get done, you know, your whole life is baseball. And then you get done, you're like, well, what do I do now? And I went to work. I had a buddy that was working, another Orlando baseball player that I knew real well, and he was working for a staffing agency. So I said, well, come work for us. We got an opening, try it out. I was there for like 5 or 6 months. I'm like, this is just not, I'm not built for this. I need something else. And happened to have kind of a family friend that was a CEO of a nonprofit organization. And randomly out of the blue, I hadn't talked to her in years. And she called me up and she said, hey, you know, I kind of looked up your resume and see that you just started a new job a few months ago, but I have this opportunity that I think you'd be great at. Will you come just have lunch with me and talk it over? I said, sure, yeah, I'll come have lunch with you. Well, there's her and then another gentleman was there and I introduced him, but didn't kind of really think about it. But at the time I thought I was interviewing them to see if I wanted to take this opportunity, when in actuality they were interviewing me to see if they even wanted to offer me the job. And it turned out to be kind of the director of marketing and special events job, where I was helping to run fundraising golf tournaments across the state of Florida. So a really cool kind of entry-level position to jump into that nonprofit world where, you know, I'm a young 20-something year old, playing golf all the time, being out in the sun, you know, doing some marketing work. You know, this was great. So really enjoyed that position, but, you know, worked directly with the CEO. And really, you know, at that point I was like, that's kind of what I knew. I want to be the CEO of a nonprofit organization. This is, I know I can do this, and this is where, how I want to take my career path. And I guess people listening are, you know, in your experience, Pat, you know, once you figure that out and you go, wow, now I know what I want to do, you just kind of go. And, you know, you've done it with your marketing company, with your marketing career, all the things that you've accomplished. You know, once you're lucky enough to find something that you really want to aspire to, it becomes very easy to well, I wouldn't say very easy, but it becomes clear what that roadmap is. And I knew, okay, I'm in this job, but I need to get the next job. I'm constantly working for the next job. And so I took several steps along the way. I was hired as a development director with a humane society. And at that point, I went back and got my master's degree, and at the same time was able to really revolutionize their business model and reframe how they were looking at their adoption process. As you know, their adoption process is a loss leader. It costs you far more to care for these dogs than the adoption fee. And so you need to look at it in that way. And so we created several business lines, you know, a public vet clinic, retail operations, boarding and grooming facilities, all these things to become this kind of one-stop shop. You trust us, we're the trusted leader in the community when it comes to animals. And once they shifted that, they went from losing, you know, $500,000 to making profits of $1.5 million and more. And luckily, you know, financially setting themselves up for, you know, something like this that we're going through now. And so I was promoted to CFO there, and then took a couple of other steps to get to become CEO of Dogs for Better Lives. And really it was an interesting time, because I was with Canine Companions for Independence, another assistance dog organization. I'll kind of get into kind of what we do here, but really loved my job, was working really closely with the CEO there, large national organization, nonprofit organization, one of the most respected organizations in the country. And again, always, you know, being open for those opportunities, always looking for what is the next step in my career progression. This opportunity came up, and it's like, everyone I talked to is like, you're nuts. What are you doing? You're moving your family. You got young kids all the way across to go move to Southern Oregon. Why would you ever do that? And, you know, it was a risk, but it's one of those things. You know, I sat down with Rachel, my wife, who, you know, and said, you know, I think this is right for our family. If you're for it, you know, let's do it. I'm in. And she said, I'm in, let's go. And made this leap. And, you know, it's scary moving across the country. And now that I'm with the organization, you know, things, you know, it's sometimes better to be lucky than good, Pat. I mean, you know, that, you know, just kind of some of the things that have happened when I was working for Canine Companions, and I was leading something called the Strategy and Systems Group and utilizing technology to improve all our processes. When I came here, they were a 100% paper-based organization.
Wow.
And so for 2 years, we built the infrastructure to go 100% digital, 100% cloud-based, with some, you know, minor things on the server here and there. But just being able to do that allows us to prepare for this time where we're remote. People aren't on campus, but we're able to continue our operations. And yeah, there's some challenges we're navigating our way through, but much better prepared than we were. And sure. And just kind of a little bit about Dogs for Better Lives is we're an assistance dog organization. So we train dogs for individuals with disabilities. And we have three kind of areas that we serve. We serve people who are deaf or hard of hearing, children on the autism spectrum, and then what we call facility dogs. So our facility dogs will go into rehab centers, child advocacy centers, and an employee of that facility will interact with clients. And so we, for the most part, we rescue dogs from shelters and then train them and place them to do that. So it's a really neat organization that I'm really, really proud to be a part of.
That's awesome. Well, I think for the listeners, if you can, maybe just your website, if someone wants to look it up, see what you're doing. I know it's got your bio on the website as well. So if they want to learn more about you and the organization, where can they go?
Then go to dogsforbetterlives.org. And from there, you can get all the information you need. We have our social media channels. We'll post puppy pictures and fun stuff. So anyone looking for a puppy fix, you know, scroll through our Instagram. It's got some neat, fun pictures and videos. So yeah, you can get all the information there, read about our team here and a little bit about me.
That's great. Well, Brian, I really appreciate you coming on. It's fun to sort of kick off this new evolution of Dolphin Tales with a former teammate, someone I know and have known for a long time. Next time you're back on this coast and in Jacksonville, we'll get you out to campus. And I was telling Scott, the things that they have done, not only from the athletics, but just the university overall, is pretty impressive. So we'll get you out there next time you're in town.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Scott. You guys, I've listened to several of your episodes. They're great. Pat's, yours was great too. So congrats on this nice project that can highlight, you know, alum and student life and, you know, reminisce on some of the stories that we had while students, while Dolphins.
The Hampton Inn Oceanfront Jacksonville Beaches location is perfect for everything from a weekend getaway, a corporate conference, or even a beautiful beach wedding. Our heated lagoon-style pool with cascading waterfalls and rock grotto sets the mood for rest and relaxation. Our unique event space and full-service catering department offers everything you need for any special event. Join us at the Tides Beach Bar and Grill, where you can enjoy the ocean breeze and your favorite libation. Call the Hampton Inn Oceanfront for more details at 904-241-2311.
With over 25 years of insurance-related auto accident and personal injury experience, the law offices of George Hunter PA have the experience and knowledge when you need it most. For others, it's just business. For us, it's personal. Call us today at 1-833-221-HURT. The law offices of George Hunter PA, a proud partner of Jacksonville University Athletics. My next guest is Jack Gallo of the men's rowing team. Jack, thanks for joining me here today on Dolphin Tales.
Thanks for having me.
So what has life been like for you? You're one of the student athletes that was, of course, had your season cut short, unfortunately, kind of right in the heart of it. You guys were had just finished a home event. We're gearing up for the meat of the schedule, and then wham, everything comes grinding to a halt. What was that? We'll start with that. What was it like when you first had to deal with the prospect of the season being over, and then from there, obviously, school not completing the way that you're used to, and so on?
Well, getting the announcement that day of practice was kind of heartbreaking. We knew that there's some stuff going on with the athletic departments. We knew some stuff was going to be canceled. We already knew that we were going to have some events taken off our schedule, but I don't think we expected it to just come to a close that quickly. And a lot of guys got really emotional in that announcement came down. We were about to start our practice, and we had no idea when we walked in that it would be our last for the season. So that was tough for a lot of guys.
Was, you know, at one point were you sitting there, you know, looking at maybe seniors, upperclassmen that, you know, they were thinking at the time perhaps that this was it. It was all over. And of course, since then, the Division I Council has voted to allow everyone to have their year of eligibility back. But I mean, did you guys do anything to try and band together that day, that night, anything like that before everybody went their respective ways?
Yeah. So our practice definitely changed. Coach decided to let the seniors run the practice, which was really nice. What they did was they mixed up all the boats into really ridiculous combinations of rowers, and we had a race. And it was really funny. It was a lot of fun. And it was really a great time, great last time for the seniors to be on the water. Because even with that year of eligibility, a lot of guys are planning to go to grad school. They're getting into work. So they can't all take advantage of that. So it was really nice to be out there that last day, just having fun, messing around without the pressure of competition, even though it was in such circumstances as it was.
What have you been doing these last couple of months? Obviously, you finished the semester online, as every student did, but what did that in particular look like for you?
Well, I had a pretty heavy course load this semester, so even being online, I wasn't ever really idle. It was definitely a weird transition because I hadn't done anything like this before, as I imagine most students hadn't, just that amount of course load online. But I was able to stay busy, keep on top of it, and I've just continued taking classes into the summer just to keep myself busy.
What about working out and all? Have you managed to find ways to try and... It's not the same without the erg room or being out on the boats, I know, but what have you managed to do, if anything, in the meantime?
Right. Well, I got a job at a moving company, so that's plenty of lifting in my day.
There you go.
And I also like to link up with some of the rowing guys that are in the area on the weekends. We go out and work out on the beach, do group runs, competitions between ourselves, stuff like that. Like the men's team currently has a running competition to see who can get in the most miles in the next few weeks. So we're finding ways to keep on top of it, even with the having to stay apart and the season being over. So we're not going to be in that bad position this fall.
How many miles have you logged here in the last couple of weeks since the competition started?
It started, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I've done about 21 miles. So I think I'm doing all right. Not leading, though. Some guys are running 5, 6, 7 miles every day. So
wow. That's
so we're keeping
stuff.
On top of it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And it's, you know, it's a unique – every sport is unique, I guess. It's a – kind of foolish to say that things are similar or whatnot, but there's an endurance aspect, right? There's a strength aspect, and then there's a technique aspect to rowing. Is that a good way to describe it?
Absolutely.
So you're able to handle the endurance part by the running and the strength aspect with the moving company and the lifting, but where, you know, how do you try to make up for the kind of that lost time and just doing the actual art of rowing?
Well, one good thing about the gyms opening up in the state of Florida is that I now have access to an erg again, so I can at least do that kind of simulated indoor rowing. It's obviously not the same as it would be on the water, but you know, it's a little bit closer than just not doing that at all. So of course there's deficit over the summer in technique work because we don't have the coaches with us, but being able to work on the erg is a close substitute, and it's really helpful.
Yeah, gyms reopening in the state of Florida. You're a local guy. You already mentioned how you're able to work with some of the guys that are still in the area. You're from Jacksonville, so pretty easy for you to stay close by. And with Florida being kind of not only a little bit ahead of other states as far as reopening, but the weather around here for the majority of the spring has been phenomenal. And that has to have at least helped things out in some ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's never been hard to go outside. I mean, the worst weather you get is rain, and that won't stop you from running or doing whatever else. So it's been great that the weather has been just fine.
Let's get a little into your background. Have you lived in Jacksonville your whole life? What was your schooling looking like growing up, and how did you end up at JU?
Well, I was born in Philadelphia, and my family moved down to Jacksonville in 2005. I've kind of grown up with the community, even if it wasn't born here. And it's been really, really nice to grow up in the same place I've been to school for most of the time. So I went to John Stockton Elementary, Landon Middle School, Stanton High School, and then I finished out at Episcopal. So I've been to all over the city, and it's been really nice to form those kind of relationships with people from all kinds of different walks of life and to see them later, some of them at JU.
Where, what'd you choose JU? And I believe you're a transfer, isn't that correct? So you didn't start off?
Yeah. I started out at the United States Military Academy up in New York. So that was a big change in my lifestyle. And eventually some family issues resulted in me moving back to Jacksonville. But JU just took me in, and it's been great so far. I've had great interactions with professors, with friends, with the team, of course. So yeah, it's been a long journey, but I'm glad I found a home in JU.
What drew you initially to Army?
It's military service. I'm still planning to serve after I finish at JU. It's just an example set by some of my family members in the past. It's something that really inspires me. So that drew me to the Army at first, and I'll be going into the Navy when I graduate.
So are you able to do anything? I know the presence with the ROTC on JU's campus is pretty strong. Are you able to stay connected in ways on campus still, despite being a JU now?
Yeah. I participate with NRTC. It's a great way to stay connected with that community, and it really helps me stay on top of my stuff militarily. The unit is so great. I'm sure you know some people there who are involved with that. It's a lot of great people, and it's awesome to be involved with them as well as with rowing.
Yeah, Mike Mitchell, a guy I've gotten to know a little bit better over the last couple of years. I mean, what he's done in kind of leading that thing up is impressive. A great guy. Enjoy my interactions with him, and it's in a city in which I probably don't have to tell you, you know, the military is such a significant factor and has a significant presence in what makes Jacksonville, Jacksonville. It's great that the university with the city's name on it can also represent that day in and day out.
For sure.
All right. So we've touched a little bit on you, on your background. What about rowing? How'd you get into this sport? Because it's not one that, you know, you're not five and your parents take you out to the park and you start rowing stuff around. So where'd you get into this one? When did you start?
My dad was a rowing coach for a while. He coached at Colorado. And when I was looking for a sport coming into high school, he put me onto rowing. And I rode with Stanton at first, and at first I hated it. I mean, it's not something that you hear a lot about, you know, soccer, football, baseball are the more popular sports. And so I didn't really know a whole lot. But, you know, the longer I did it, the more I got into it, and I met such great friends, and I decided to stay with it all the way from first year of high school through now. So it's been a really great way for me to develop physically, mentally, and I just love the sport to death.
What's your favorite part of it? When did you kind of, you said you hated it at first. When did you kind of come to that realization that you're like, no, I think this is actually for me?
Probably my first race. Training can suck as it can for any sport, you know, after the long hours, learning technique, repeating the same drills over and over. But when you actually get to that racing point, when it all comes together, you're just putting everything on the line just to get an inch ahead of another boat. That's something that I found just so addicting. And that's the reason I come back to rowing every single year. For that racing season.
Is there any better kind of high in athletics than just being in a race and maybe ending up winning a race?
Competing. That's why we do sports. It's just so much fun. It makes everything else worth it.
What are you majoring in?
Political science.
Okay. So you mentioned you want to get into the service after you graduate, but what down the line when you're done with your military career, perhaps would you like to use that degree to pursue?
I like to get into local government and politics. I've thought about going to law school, becoming an attorney. I've really liked what I've gotten from the community in Jacksonville, and I want to give back at some point. So however I can do that, you know, maybe in law or in government somewhere else. I just really want to give back to the community because it's felt great to be a part of it. In Jacksonville and everywhere I've been so far.
Well, hopefully I see your name on a ballot somewhere down the line and I can bubble in and cast a vote there. But that'll be great aspirations there, no doubt about it. And it should be exciting to kind of see how that plays out for you going on. But, you know, what about the rowing team at JU? What stands out that makes you all a unique group on campus?
The rowing team at JU, I can say having been on four or five rowing teams in all, it's been the best group of guys that I've worked with yet. I mean, the coaching staff is phenomenal, better than I've ever experienced. The guys are all so friendly. They're all so motivated. I think they just have a huge presence on campus just in the sheer number of us. There's a lot of rowers. Yeah. But also in the fact that they're always showing up at the JU events. They're always volunteering. They're always just making the JU name better than it would be without them. So I think they're just a great group of guys, and I love being a part of them.
Yeah, I tell you what, it is hard to miss you guys as a group because I walk through campus a lot. I'm in a lot of different buildings. Obviously, I'm at a lot of different sporting events, and yeah, I see you guys everywhere. It's great. It's certainly a positive aspect of the fact that you're not just. You could be hiding all day long down at that beautiful boathouse, but you guys, you're out and about and you're doing stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we love to be a part of everything JU. You'll definitely see some rowing guys at every JU event. We're a big part of the community, and that's one thing I really love about us. We don't hide.
All right. I want to jump into our Jimmy John's Freaky Fast 5 questions here. Are you ready
okay.
for this?
Yeah.
nothing too in-depth here, I promise. We'll start off with this. Your favorite time of the day to be on a boat out on the water?
Sunset. It's beautiful.
That makes a lot of sense. I would probably choose that too. Now that I think about it, what is your favorite part of a regatta that only a rower will understand?
The starting line. You know, everyone is, there's like five or six boats right next to each other. You're all dead silent, just waiting for the announcer to give the call. It's super tense. It's kind of scary, and it's awesome.
That is awesome. Have you watched a movie, a TV show, or read a book here recently that you've enjoyed?
I watched Breaking Bad again. That's probably my favorite show. It's been good to have the time to get back into less productive activities like that now that school's out.
Right. Yes. I feel like a lot of people have taken the opportunity to maybe rewatch a show, if not watch new things, because, you know, there's a little extra time there. Breaking Bad, though, that's an all-timer right there. Maybe one of the greatest shows of all time.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a place on campus that you cannot wait to return to?
I really like the CAF, not just for the food, but it's such a lively atmosphere. I mean, it can feel kind of lonely just having one or two roommates, and we don't really talk to each other all that much. But the CAF is a great place for everyone to come together, and you can meet new friends, you can talk to old friends, and you can enjoy great food. So I think it's the best of both worlds.
There you go. It's like a good old-fashioned food hall. Do you have a favorite post-workout snack?
Chocolate milk. Definitely chocolate milk.
You get a little bit of the sweet. You get the positives of the milk and the recovery. I mean, best of both worlds there, right?
It's the best.
All right. So as we look ahead now, I mean, we've transitioned into the summertime. You finish up the semester. While we're still far from knowing everything, we have gotten to a point, I think, where we at least have a few more answers. How are you getting ready for coming back in the fall? What do you hope to see, to do, and to help things get back to quote-unquote normal once school starts up again in the fall?
Well, I've been making a big effort to get in contact with more of the rowers. A good number of them are around the area, if not in Jacksonville. And so we've been getting in more of our workouts together. We've been talking about what we're going to do in the coming season. So just having that mentality where we know we're going into this. We all have to be at our best when we get back. Keeping up the communication is a big deal for us. And so making sure we're all in the right headspace when we get back to it is important.
Well, I hope to see you all back on campus here sooner rather than later, and representing JU as well as you guys do all over the place. It'll be great. Jack Gallo from Men's Rowing, thanks so much for joining me here today on the Dolphin Tales podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott. Appreciate it.
Your local Napa Auto Care Center is independently owned, operates by a written code of ethics, and provides service you can trust. Put your vehicle in the care of ASE certified technicians in your neighborhood. They're backed by Napa. Quality parts, national warranties. That's Napa know-how. Your Napa Auto Care Center might just be the treated me fairly, I love those guys place you've been looking for your vehicle. Stop by today at
jacksnapa.com. At DoubleTree, they're known for their delicious warm chocolate chip cookies, baked fresh daily. Their cookies represent their constant dedication to the guest experience and is a thoughtful touch that ensures you feel special and cared for throughout your stay. Book your stay today at DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront, a proud partner of Jacksonville Athletics. Want to thank all the guests that appeared with us today on episode 11 of the Dolphin Tales podcast. First up, Brian Williams, former Jacksonville baseball pitcher, current CEO of Dogs for Better Lives, and then men's rowing sophomore Jack Gallo. And of course, leading everything off, a special thanks to Deputy Athletic Director Lauren Sievis for taking some time to read her open letter. This has been the Dolphin Tales podcast, presented by Baptist Health. For my co-host Pat Sitkins, I'm Scott Manzi saying so long, stay safe, and we look forward to talking to the JU community again next time.